Hey, who's ready for some of that good old Southern Baptist hellfire and brimstone? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So last week, Jake started a series where we're going through Psalms and we're praying Psalms. And so we're just going to continue with what Jake started last week. If you just give me 1 minute here to get my stuff set up. Patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue. The Lord forgives you. So, I don't know, a lot of people probably don't know this because you don't know my day-to-day life. I've been in Iowa for the past six days. After church last week, I went home and took care of some things, and then I drove up to Iowa where I stayed in a hotel for a week, going to a class for 16 and a half hours every day for my place of employment. It was a very big blessing to my life. But before I could go out of town, I had a lot of responsibilities to take care of. And there we go. I'm on the right spot now. So I had a lot of stuff I had to take care of, right? Like my normal, I got to be a dad, I got to be a husband, I got to be a leader at the church, those normal things. But then I also like had to prepare for being in Iowa, where the home office, the world headquarters of my place of employment is. One of the things that I had to do was get my vehicle that they gave me clean, because, you know, it would be very disrespectful to drive a vehicle up there that they pay for and it looked the way that it looked, right? And if you know me, look, here's the deal. If cleanliness is next to godliness, I'm in big freaking trouble, because I'm a slob. It's the truth. I'm a slob. My wife yells at me all the time because of it. So that was just one thing on the list that I had to get done. So I got off work on a Thursday, and my mindset when I got off the work was, I have this to do, this to do, this to do, this to do, this to do. I'm going to get it done today. All right now, I'm going to get it all done today, Thursday night, between 3:30 and 5 o'clock. I'm going to get all this stuff done. That was my mindset, right? So I come home from work, and I got a picnic table out in front of my house, and I set my laptop up because I got to do my timesheets, and then I set this stupid thing up because I got to do my credit card report, which is a pain in the neck because guess what? I don't know how to use this stuff. I've been a tree trimmer for 20 years. We don't use this stuff in tree trimming. We use chainsaws. I had to have my personal phone, and since I was trying to do all this stuff while I was writing my sermon, I had my Bible right here with me. So I come home from work, and I got my file cabinet down here, and I'm trying to get my timesheets, and I'm trying to get my credit card report done. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about this kind of stuff, but when you use all three of these devices for the same purpose, you got to have codes to get in each one of them. It's called an authenticator or something like this. And so if you open this one, now you got to put a code in this one. And if you open this one, you got to put a code to get back in this one. It's really, really stressful. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to get in here, right? And I'm trying to get my credit card report, but at the same time, even though physically in my body I'm trying to do this credit card report, my mind is on this sermon. My mind is on what I'm doing right now. And my mind is telling me that I'm not good enough, that it's all a lie, that I'm going to come up here today and I'm going to fail and I'm going to fall on my face and you guys are all going to laugh at me and I'm going to be embarrassed and I'm never going to... That's what my mind is telling me, right? So while that's going on, I'm thinking about, I don't want to leave my wife for a week. Listen, I don't have a perfect marriage, but I love my wife. One of the things that I do for my wife every day, see, we are a team, right? We're a team. I wake up at 4 a.m., I go to the gym for an hour, and most days I come straight home after the gym and I cook her breakfast. And it fills my heart with joy when I go in there and hand her a fresh cup of coffee and I give her the plate of food and let her know that our son's breakfast is ready, right? I don't want to lose that for a week. I love my son. I screwed up. My first son. I messed up, right? I was not a good dad for my first son. The Lord gifted me with the second chance to get it right. I want to be in his life every single day. I did not want to go out of town and be away from my son. Thank God I brought some water up here this time. Somebody praise God. Right? So, I have to put the lid back on or I will spill it, I promise you. So here I am. I'm physically trying to do this stuff that I have to get done for work. In the back of my mind is this truck that's a slob truck that I have to get cleaned sometime in the next 2 days. Oh, and by the way, the next day I have to go back here to Independence, an hour and a half away from my home, to put on an event for so we can do outreach to the public. And then on top of that, my dad told me he's got lung cancer. So I'm sitting here on my front porch, and I'm physically trying to do this technology that will not work for me while I'm thinking about going out of town and being away from my family, and I'm thinking about this truck that I'd have to get clean, and I got my dad telling me he's got lung cancer, and I'm like, ah, I can't take it! That's how I am on the inside, but what do? My wife comes out and says, hey, do you know where Mason's water bottle is? And I snap. And I said, I don't care where his water bottle is. Don't you know what I'm going through? And immediately, I could feel the Holy Spirit convict me and say, you are a fool. You fool. I said, babe, I'm sorry. I'm really stressed out right now. I apologize. And I did what any Christian would do. I came over to this piece of technology that I hate, and I said, Google, what psalm tells me how to live life in chaos? Psalm 46, it's right there. We're going to read about it and we're going to talk about it. I told you I'd have spilled this if the lid wasn't on it. You didn't believe me. So we're going to read Psalm 46. I don't see not one of you guys reaching in the pew and grabbing your Bible. Praise God! It's okay if you don't got the slides. I'll just read it right here. I got it all highlighted and everything. Oh, there it is. You good? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whom streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations, I don't know what that word is. I'm sorry. The desolations he has brought on earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, and this right here, when I read this, this is where the Holy Spirit just took over right here, you guys. Like he was all over me. He was all over me. He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So, there is three facts. These are undeniable facts that we just read, okay? Fact number one, God is very present in our trouble. I'm going to say it one more time. God, if I was 20, I'd have just jumped. God is very present in our trouble. Let me ask you a question. Scoot over. We are in each other's presence right now, right? We are in each other's presence, right? So when you're in trouble, this is where God is in your life. So let me ask you a question, you guys. Would you rather God be right there? Or would you rather God be over here somewhere doing something else? The verse just told us that when we're in trouble, He is in our presence. Somebody say amen and glory to God. That's fact number one. Fact number two. Hey, listen. If you're reading the Word of God and it tells you something three times, I promise you want to listen. Something is about that number three in the Word of God, right? Three times Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, right? Three times in this short little chapter of the Bible, God tells us, side note, this version said fortress. King James Version says refuge. I got refuge. Whatever. Fortress, refuge. Same thing. So three times, verse 1, verse 7, verse 11, God tells us that He is our place of refuge. Do you understand what that means? He is our safe place. He didn't tell us one time. He didn't tell us two times. But in three times in the same chapter, He said, I am where you come when you're in trouble. I am your place of refuge. He told us that three times, right? That's fact number two. Side note, I was talking about it over and over and over again. Long before I met Brooke, long before I had Mason as my son, I was talking about it over and over again. I don't want to get high no more. My friend Dave, you guys see him here sometimes, he comes, right? He gave me a Bible. He wrote in the front of the Bible, he wrote, be still and know I am God. And that was 10 or 12 years ago. And so in verse 10, when it told me, right, because here I am, I got all this going on, and I can just feel the weight crushing down, breaking my vertebrae, and I'm getting, I'm going to lose it, I got to hold it all together, I can feel the weight pushing down, and God's Holy Spirit voice that lives inside of me when I read that said, I am the God of Jacob. I am the God that brought water from the rock. I am the God that parted the Red Sea. I am the God that rose from the grave after 3 days. He is God. And all I got to do is give it to Him. So, where are we at on time? I did this sermon four times yesterday and I couldn't get it under 30 minutes. So, hey, listen. So, the Bible tells us this stuff all over, right? You can open the book and flip to about any page, and it'll tell you how awesome God is and how much He loves us and how much grace He has, right? You see Him on bumper stickers, right? You see Him on people's hard hats at work. You see Him posted on giant billboards on the side of the highway, people talking about verses that talk about God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. But for some reason, when it hits the fan, we forget about all that. We forget about all of it. We literally come here twice a week and learn about God's grace and love. And on Thursday, when everything hits the fan, we forget about it. Why is that? Other than the fact that we're freaking humans and we can never freaking figure it out. Okay. We're going to cover three reasons why we forget that. These are not the only three reasons. There are many more reasons. These are just the three reasons that I came up with. Actually, these are the three reasons that the Holy Spirit gave me to talk about up here today. Trust me, if we were relying on me, folks, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in big trouble. So these are the three reasons that we just cannot remember when stuff hits the fan. All we got to do is rely on Him. Reason number one, fear. Fear. We are afraid that our sins of yesterday are too big for His forgiveness today. I'm going to tell you right now, that is a lie straight from the depths of hell. Your sins of yesterday are not too big for Him to heal your prayers today. I promise you that. Let me tell you something. If you think in your head that the sins that you committed are bigger than Him, what you're really telling Him is this: the nails they put in your hands and feet and the spear that they put in your side and the blood that you shed for me, it's not enough. My sins are bigger than that. I'm telling you right now, if you think your sins are bigger than that, you got big problems, man. Big problems. Because your sins ain't bigger than what He did for us on the cross. Amen, somebody. Second Timothy, right? That's just my word. But we cannot rely on my word. We got to rely on the word of God. They say that the Bible is God breathed. You understand what that means? The God that hang the stars breathed the words that are written in that Bible. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us," somebody say amen, "for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and sound mind." So when the devil tells you you need to be afraid, you say, "Not today, devil, not today. I have the Holy Spirit of Jesus in me, and I will not fear." Reason number two, why we, for some reason, cannot accept that God's got our back above everything else. Anybody want to guess? Pride. Pride. Hey, listen, here's the deal, guys. As Christians, we don't want to talk about our shortcomings because we're afraid that other Christians won't think we're Christian enough. Stop it. Stop it. Listen, I got a real simple answer. I do this with my man Justin. Sometimes I do it with my friend Dave. You need to pick somebody that's walking the same walk that you're walking with Jesus, and you need to be in contact, whether it be through email, text message, or phone call, every single day, that they can hold you accountable, that you can pick a book of the Bible and read it together, and you can say to that person, "Hey, I see this," and they can say to you, "They see this," and then you can go to them and say, "These are the sin in my life. Please pray for me," and then they can tell you the same thing. Find somebody that's like-minded Christian like you, and become accountable to that person. The only thing stopping you from doing that is pride. Need that one. Proverbs, once again, those are my words. We cannot rely on my words. They are of me. I fall short. But the breathed written word of God in Proverbs 6, chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall." Get connected, ladies and gentlemen. I promise your walk will be much better for it. Reason number three. And it kind of encompasses the other two reasons as well, but our flesh. Our flesh. Our flesh. The Holy Spirit does live in us when we come to believe in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Our flesh is still there. And it's whispering in our ear, and it's saying, "Have some beers while you watch the game." It's saying, "Watch Netflix for 12 hours on Saturday and do absolutely nothing to be productive. It's okay to be 20 minutes late to work." It's telling us all this crazy stuff, right? Listen, when we are consumed with the desires of our flesh, we cannot hear the Holy Spirit. Listen, I got a son. I am not the best dad, okay? Sometimes my son will sit on my phone that I give him because I'm not the best dad, and he'll be on YouTube, kids YouTube at least, right? Kids YouTube, he'd be on there, and I'd be like, "Mason," and he'd be like, Mason! That's how it is with the Holy Spirit, right? If we're consumed with the things of this world, if we're consumed with whether or not the Chiefs win the Super Bowl again, and if we're consumed with what president's going to be the next president, and we're consumed with what we think is important to us, but we're not consumed with the Holy Spirit that lives in us, then we cannot hear him when he whispers in his ear and he says, "Be still, son, because I am God." We don't hear it, right? So there you go. That's the three reasons. About 7 minutes before I'm ready for that slide. Maybe six or five. Okay, so once again, we are not going to rely on the word of Mike Sanders because Mike Sanders is a loud fool, right? No big deal. Just open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." Somebody say amen, glory, hallelujah. It's hot. So, we have things in our life. We got teenagers that won't listen to us. We got wives that get yelled at us because we throw our clothes at the foot of the bed instead of in the dirty hamper. Guilty. We got real life problems. Hey, listen. I want you guys to understand something. Please do not think that I think that any of your problems, because we have had some real life trauma happen in this church. We have had some real life stuff go on to the members in this church. And I want you to know I am not saying anything about how I just know that like real life happens, okay? There's a reason that I said my dad told me he had cancer. I'll get there. So the ship is going down, right? So the ship is going down. Mayday, 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 mayday. Help me, help me, help me. This is what I would recommend. First of all, tell your fear to get lost. Second of all, smash your pride. Third of all, allow the Holy Spirit to overcome your flesh. And third of all, because this is a sermon or this is a series on praying psalms, where is my Bible? Go open your Bible. Go open your Bible next time you're going through some stuff. You go into a quiet room and you turn the TV off and you send the kids outside and you open that Bible to Psalms 46 and you remind yourself that God is your refuge. And you remind yourself of very present help in trouble. You remind yourself that the God of Jacob is your place of refuge. And you get on your knees and you pray exactly that. God, you are my place of refuge. I know you are present in these times of trouble. I will be still and know that you are God. Those of you taking notes, write it down, Psalms 46. Fold that sucker up. Put it in your Bible. The Holy Spirit will guide you to it when it's ready to be used, okay? Now, I've told you guys this once before, and I'm going to tell you again, and I'll probably tell you again later on. I don't believe necessarily the things in the Word of the Bible because I read them. I believe them because I lived them, you guys. I lived them. I lived them. Keep going. I lived them. When my son was 3 days old, a cardiologist came and he put his arm around my shoulder and he said, "Listen, above all things, it's going to be all right." But I wasn't listening to what he was telling me. Do you know why? Because I was covered in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was telling me that it's going to be all right. The Holy Spirit was telling me it's going to be all right. They literally, that's my son at 6 months, 1 day old. They cut his chest open. They took his heart out. They put it on the table. They sewed it shut. They put it back in his chest cavity. They sewed his skin shut. He came home with me. And that was that. And you see him running around here at the church. So don't tell me. Don't tell me the God I serve ain't bigger than your addiction. Don't tell me that the God I serve is not bigger than my daddy's cancer. Don't tell me that the God that I serve is not bigger than your arguments with your wife or your significant other. Don't tell me that my God that parted the Red Sea, that my God that brought water from the rock is not bigger than your teenager garbage that goes on in your life. Because he's bigger than all of it, you guys. How do I know he's bigger than all of it? Because I freaking lived it. Because I freaking lived it. And this is only the latest big miracle in my life. I shoved needles in my arm for years. I don't even think about that kind of stuff no more. It's not even a part of my life, right? Y'all see this right here? When I was born at 6 months old, I had a hernia that crushed my esophagus. And nobody knew about it because it was 1980, not 2000 or whatever. And I almost died of starvation because I couldn't eat. I was supposed to die at 6 months old. Miracles, one after another after another. I'm traveling down 435 and getting on 71 highway doing 120 miles an hour on my motorcycle when a lady decides to crash over three lanes of traffic and hit my rear tire. I collapsed my lungs. I broke my freaking ribs in my back. I broke my collarbone. I had to learn how to use this hand again. Miracle after miracle, time after time. God has been my place of refuge. And I didn't deserve it. Not one bit. Not one bit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. And I just want to lift up every single person that is in this room today. I want to pray that your Holy Spirit, Father God, moves in their life in a way that they can come to know you more than they ever have before. I want to pray to Heavenly Father that anytime somebody's going through struggles and hard times, that you move in their hearts and you remind them that you are our place of refuge. Move, Father God. Move in this room today. Allow your Holy Spirit to be a part of their every single day life. Every single minute of the day. Thank you, Father God, for Maywood and all that you do. Be with this church, Father God. Be with us and help us grow in Christ. Bring revival to the city of Independence. And allow Maywood to be a light set high upon a hill, not for our glory, Father God, but for your glory. I pray for every single person that's in this city, Father God, that has struggles and addictions and chaos in their lives, Father God. I pray that the number of people that come to church on Sunday morning can increase so that the people that walk around the city streets lost can decrease. Once again, not for our glory, but for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.